This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Noelle Lim. As the movement control order is extended till the end of April, we speak to Tiong Teck Lin, the CEO of GD Express Carrier, or GDEX, one of the big names in express delivery, on how the crisis is affecting them. Thank you for speaking to us and hope you've been staying well. The business-to-business segment has been severely affected, and this is your biggest business, accounting for about 60% of revenue. Give us some indication on how bad it has been in the last 3 months.
For the first week when the MCO was announced, actually a lot of the businesses, they actually trying to find a way to adapt. So that segment, the 60% that we have, almost like dropped 70-80% of the activities, because a lot of the business just shut down their operations for the first week. And the following week, they actually, a lot of them start to actually operate from different locations, selling through e-commerce or different type of channels. So we do see that volume, even from the B2B, bounce back almost, I think, more than half of the normal. And we actually start to see different segments like those on social commerce, more to the C2C, growing very, very strongly. It's almost like a week, it's a triple digit sort of growth, even though we have a very small number there, but it's still quite significant to our sort of business.
Customer-to-customer segment is growing quickly, like you mentioned, due to all this e-commerce activity. But what I understand about the business is that individual sellers are quite price-sensitive and there's no floor price on merchandise delivery. It's quite difficult to make money. Is that the case for you?
Actually, the new trend now today is basically social commerce. And this social commerce, people actually start to sell on their own platform. These people actually have a lot of followers by themselves. So basically, selling on that platform, it costs them no commission to be paid out to the e-commerce platform. They are selling on Facebook, they are selling on the Twitter, they are selling on any other things, and or you call it the influencer, is growing very, very strongly in Malaysia. It has been a very strong trend in countries like China, all that. So we are experiencing a lot of this type of business activity to our digital platform, because we can actually integrate with this social platform. So the social commerce, I think, will start to pick up very, very strongly.
Mm. But are they price sensitive?
Not really, because why? These social media sellers, they do not actually have to actually pay any fees to anybody now. So I think a good solution to them is very, very important. Anyway, our sort of delivery, in terms of the price and all that, is very, very I would say value for money, you know.
Is it still as profitable for you compared to the B2B, the business to business, your traditional segment?
I think this segment can be as good because I think you are actually going direct to those users in the sense that they can actually, what they need is a very good solutions so that it can actually deliver and serve the customers with better experience. I think this is the way forward for us.
Margin-wise, is C2C better or about the same as B2B?
I would say C2C could be better.
They sell in smaller volume compared to your B2B, because B2B, then they will try to negotiate for even lower rates.
Exactly.
Then what we know about the MCO is that there may be now more relaxation, more companies will be allowed to operate in this new phase. But could this visibly help improve your top line, or do you sense that your clients are still going to be quite cautious in opening and getting into business again?
I felt that the B2B will bounce back, I think, once everything gets normal. But I felt that COVID, I would say, during and after COVID, a lot of things will actually be very different from the way we are before the COVID, in the sense that companies, they have to really look at how to actually switch to a different channel, especially to the digital channel, if everything gets shut. And also they have to really think of how to able to have a better risk management in case one team is down. So these are a lot of the companies who have not been actually focusing on all this risk management we'll have to relook at all these options.
Do you see there's an opportunity, a business opportunity for you, like a new service line that you can offer some of your clients who should have been managing their risk better but have not been doing so?
Actually, what you say is totally right, because the way of life of Malaysia, if you really look at how Malaysians actually do the shopping, they go to the wet market, you know, they buy the meat, fresh meat and all this sort of thing. And during this MCO, there's a lot of the demand that was came to us. Can you deliver sort of frozen meat in Klang Valley? Can you deliver frozen fish throughout Malaysia? This thought of inquiries are so many, and we are going to start the Klang Valley frozen delivery very soon. And I think this is one of the area that, I mean, the infrastructure is not there in Malaysia. And for us, we are not actually into this. And it will become a new trend.
Assuming that the movement control order will be further extended till mid-May, is that what you are projecting? Is that what you are preparing for?
I think, in the sense that I think even the first MCO was announced, looking into what China have experienced, they have once they have a lockdown, it will almost take like 2-3 months to actually loosen the lockdown. So I think in Malaysia case, I have mentally prepared myself actually for at least 2-3 months as well, because I think the control of this COVID is almost similar to every country. Those countries that lose themselves out, especially you see the Western country, they just lost control.
Well, the good thing is GDEX is relatively cash rich enough to cover your debts, but you still need to manage your expenses and cash outflow. And I think you mentioned that as a priority. So how are you doing that?
We will be actually focusing on how to retain more cash, in the sense that the challenges may be even more after COVID. I don't know, because right now we just have this COVID crisis coming in. But given, let's say, 9 months, a year down the line, will this COVID thing leads to a financial crisis? I just won't know. See? So I think we are better, more prepared to face whatever that is coming on. I think this is just the beginning.
Could you just describe what that financial crisis might look like?
If there's many businesses that are down, would there be more NPLs to the bank, to the financial system? Can they disrupt the financial system that is very strong now? So all these questions, I think I would like to get answers. I can't get much anyway. But I think this will be some of the things that after going through 87, 97 myself, I think we have to be prepared because this crisis looks like more serious than that.
If you would put a percentage to it, like more than 50% chance of a financial crisis or maybe 40% chance?
Every government already started to put in huge stimulus plan that I haven't seen in my whole life. Obviously, every government is looking at a risk of financial crisis coming up. It's very, very strong there. And also today, you have almost like 90 emerging countries already asked help from the IMF and things like that, from the World Bank and all that. So I think this is definitely a bigger risk than even the COVID itself. I think we have to be much more prepared for that. What I'm more worried is that actually in a situation where a lot of companies actually go down, a lot of the lost jobs, you know, so how many jobs are going to lose, and what will be the impact of the consumption, you know, in every country, that will definitely be impacting our business as well. We have to really relook at how we actually remodel our business to actually overcome this. I think that is the main key.
Salary cost is one big chunk, so you say it's really important now to look at the business model. Are you going to lay off people?
I would definitely not try to actually do the retrenchment of anything. So, for example, those frozen delivery and things like that, I will try to use the existing team to actually get them to do more jobs so that I don't have to hire. At the same time, I don't have to retrench.
What I hear from companies, they are instituting pay cuts across the board. So maybe the higher paying executives will have to take bigger pay cut. Is that what you are looking at for GDEX?
I start doing the what they call cash management or the what they call cost management a month back, before even the lockdown was announced, because the COVID actually start from China and a lot of the items actually slow down coming to Malaysia. And that has impacted business as well, even before our lockdown.
And it's because of the trade war as well, right?
Yeah, trade war is actually, that was actually end of last year. So we have been hit by many rounds. I wouldn't say it's only this COVID. It's like 4 or 5 rounds of different things at one go. It's oil war. When you start to actually thought of how to cut your people's pay, that will be the last resort. Like, I would still keep the option open. But I think as a company, I myself took some pay cut myself as to indicate that I could have prepared the company much better than what it should, you know. Because of that, I did a small one just as a to show as a leadership.
On The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking with Tiong Teck Lin, the CEO of GD Express, or GDEX, the express delivery company. After this, we'll discuss what the government could do more to help businesses and what opportunities are there in the markets now.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm speaking with Tiong Teck Lin, the CEO of GD Express, or GDEX, on how the company is surviving the movement control order. What else do you think the government could do to help businesses?
I think the government, one thing is they have to really look at options in a law, how to actually protect companies. For example, one of the biggest chunk, not only GDEX, but most other companies, I think is the rental of the premises. A lot of people actually have different contracts, with lease contracts with a landlord and things like that. Well, if a law is passed to protect all the businesses, I think it would be great. I think Singapore have done that. Some other countries have done that. They can have option not to pay for a few months. Then you actually got to negotiate between the property, the landlords, together with the business to make sure that to survive. We actually have asked a lot of our landlords. Actually, I would say 30-40% of them did reduce some for us, but the rest, I think they would not want to reduce anything.
You spoke about remodeling your business. Could you talk more about that?
So we also in GDEX, we are going on contactless, you know, so without having more paper for people to sign and things like that, you see.
I always wonder about this because it's not like using technology, it's not like a new thing, right? People have been saying go automation and all that. Why is it that businesses take a while to do this and it takes a crisis to get people to now look into this more seriously?
I think a lot of the businesses, because they already spend a lot of money on the infra, so the whole ERP is not a very small thing. It involves the entire company. To change the whole platform will need time and a lot more other investment, and also may involve in write-off as well. Let's say you spend 10 million or 20 million on your older ERP. So can you just scrap that $10 million to zero and put in a new one? So these are all management decisions for a lot of businesses.
I know you've told reporters that 2020 is all about survival, but as a relatively astute businessman, are there opportunities that you might be keeping your eye on? There may be businesses closing shop or disposing their assets for a song.
I think with everywhere, I think most of the governments that give in moratorium and a sort of stimulus to help the business, 2020, I don't think there's much opportunity available, but 2021 could be a year that will be a lot more businesses that are exciting but could be available. 90 emerging markets are actually approaching, or the World Bank, or that, for help. So there will be very exciting times for business acquisition or whatever. 2021, 22 could be a good year.
And especially if a financial crisis happens?
Oh, definitely there will be more, but I make sure that we won't be the victims.
Do you see also there are opportunities to strengthen your logistics business, which is still small compared to the express delivery segment?
Oh, definitely. I think there's a lot more opportunity up there with this logistics segment as well. But I think we are not in the hurry to put in more investment because logistics is a lot of time. You need a lot of investment. Mm. So I think we have to be very cautious at this time. To actually wisely spend our money as well.
One of the things that weigh against investing in a logistics business is the relatively low return on equity, something like below 10%, and I think yours is like about 6%. So long-term-wise, have you given this some thought on what higher value opportunities you would seek?
I think one of the reasons is that low yield over the last few years, 3-4 years, especially for us, I think it's basically there's a lot of startups coming into our segment to actually run the business. Actually, a lot of this business, they actually want to gain market share. They want to look at top line only. Bottom line, they don't bother. So in a way, drag down a lot of business. So I think going forward, funds are not so easy to come to a lot of businesses as well. So some of these startups, if they don't have a lot of new capital coming in, so I think the margin will start to improve as well as the people actually become more sensible. What is a good return to the business?
So you foresee you still remain in this logistics and express delivery service. There's no thought about moving into, say, more services, more consultancy, for example, selling your clients' solutions?
Express delivery logistics will be our bread and butter. Any other added services that we do will be actually surrounding the ecosystem that we have, what we have. That will actually make us much more sustainable.
So that's why you took up that 33% stake in WebBytes, the cloud-based point-of-sale system.
WebBytes also have a very good and big ecosystem because they are connected to a lot of stores. In fact, the airports, even though the business is slow now, the operators there, the point of sales is run by WebBytes. I think the concession is for 5 years. And also the type of mindset of the entrepreneur, the CEO there, Boon Ching, is actually very aligned to what our direction.
You are able to tap on their technology and that would help GDAX's operations. But in terms of business, what is that synergy?
I think we could cross-sell both ways. GDAX today, we have 50, 60,000 corporate clients. Even though our sort of C2C segment was started about a year ago, we have almost close to 20,000 users now. And it's growing, like I say, the turnover growth month by month is almost like triple digit. I think our customer base will in no time in Malaysia even reach 100,000. If we can connect Malaysia, Vietnam, Singapore, we could have a few 100,000. I think together with WebBytes, our ecosystem will become very different and sort of quite special for a lot of businesses to want to align to us.
So you bought into GDAX in 2000, I think putting in quite a lot of your life savings in there. And this could have been your 20th anniversary celebration with much joy. But instead, now you're battling probably maybe the worst crisis in your career. How will COVID-19 change GDAX?
Actually, this COVID-19 to me, I wouldn't say that it's a good thing to happen, but actually it start to really make me start of realize that we can be actually running a business. We can think that we can do a lot, but at the end of the day, it actually made us very small. Is it? So I think COVID-19 will actually make us actually look at going to the drawing board again, start from ground zero, and see how to grow from there. After COVID-19, it will be a sort of the whole business will be re-looking at how to become more adaptable to the new landscape. And I think the survivors will be able to take advantage of all that is happening to re-adapt ourselves. And that COVID-19 is a wake-up call for all the CEOs in the world to re-look at what they have to do next.
How has it changed you as a person or as an entrepreneur?
I think the first thing that I think is to really look at my people and how actually to take care of their safety, their health. Because I got a family, they got a family too. I'll be looking forward to what I can do more for those frontliners. And I was actually take this opportunity to thank all the frontliners, those people working in the hospital, the police, you know, to keep the country safe, secure and healthy as well. So I think our people, I will thank them a lot. And so is the other frontliners of other delivery company. They have put their life at risk to deliver because why they could contact to anybody. But for me, I think we'll make sure that they have adequate PPE adequate to keep them safe. to ensure that every one of them has sanitizer with them all the time. So this is a lot of thoughts that are more to focus on the people.
Thanks so much and all the best. That was Tiong Teck Lin, CEO of GD Express or GDEX. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, encouraging you to stay home during this period of movement control.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.